So praise the Lord for speaking these days.
Amen.
It's just been a wonderful time. In our first meeting, we got to see God's desires for His kingdom to be on this earth. Yes. As we went through the timeline back there, we saw that it was always on God's heart to accomplish His kingdom. But unfortunately, He couldn't do it with the angels, and He also couldn't do it with men on men's own. So He sent His Son so that we can have salvation with Him, as well as His Son's Spirit can live within us.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. And in the second meeting, we saw the urgency of Christ's second coming.
Right.
As we saw, the times of the nations have been fulfilled in the prophecies, and we're right now between this time of the Christ's second coming on earth.
Yeah.
And this peace treaty may be within the days or years to come. So it's really a call for us to be prepared.
Right.
Yes.
And then the third meeting, we saw that God's desire is for His people to grow and mature and to be the first fruits.
Right.
We saw the different paths for God's people. We saw that the only path that we want to take is to become the first fruit, to be mature and ready for His coming, so that we don't have to go through this extra maturing. And there will be some judgment to God's people. And that's what we'll see tonight through some verses in Matthew.
Amen.
So to start off, let's open to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10.
Amen.
2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10.
Amen.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Amen.
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 We see that this judgment seat of Christ appears right here on our timeline.
Yes.
As we've seen the meeting last night, there's the first fruits and the overcomers will get to have the part in being with the throne, with Christ at the throne during this last 3.5 years. But we see that the living Christians that will end up going through the Great Tribulation, they'll also be joined in the clouds,
right,
as we read through 1 Thessalonians, to this judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
And this is for all Christians.
Yes.
And so before, I thought that, you know, all Christians, it's by grace we've been saved and not of our works. And so I didn't know that there would be this judgment for us. But as we see in the Word, it's quite clear that there's actually going to be a separation even among God's people.
Right.
And our salvation that we have through Christ is so that we can be in this new heaven and a new earth.
Right.
In Jerusalem. Yeah. In New Jerusalem. But there is a reward for those Christians that are faithful.
Yes.
And that's what we'll see tonight.
Amen.
So Romans 14, verse 10 also confirms this. So we'll turn there. And we'll start at the second sentence.
Yeah.
Romans 14, verse 10.
Amen.
Starting with, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And there's a warning for what will be judged there. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We can read verses 9 through 15.
Corinthians 3:9-15.
Yes. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yes, as through fire.
Amen. Amen. So we see that we are God's fellow workers, right? We are followers of Christ.
Amen.
But even among us, the day will declare how each one's work will be judged.
Yes.
And we see here that it says it will be revealed through fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And this fire is this judgment seat of Christ, as we see.
Yes.
Because there will be a reward for those who build with the correct building materials.
Yes.
We really need to seek the Lord to determine what those are.
Yeah.
So we'll turn to Matthew chapter 25. And we'll read what God desires.
Amen.
For us to be found faithful. Yes. During this judgment.
Amen.
This you may know is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
Yes.
It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom.
Yes.
Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Oh, Lord.
But while the bridegroom slept, or while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept.
Yes.
Yeah. So we see that these virgins, these are Christians.
Right.
Because as it says in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, it talks about the church. And it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might present to her, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
Yes.
That's talking about us Christians. We should be holy and without blemish to Christ.
Amen.
We are virgins to him. He should be on the forefront of our minds, and there should be no other love before him in our hearts.
Yes.
So we see that even among these virgins, there were 5 that were faithful, mm-hmm. that were wise, and 5 that were foolish.
Right.
And it says that they have, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So we see that it's talking about these people we went over here, the woman,
yes.
the God's people that have passed away, that are currently dead right now,
mm-hmm.
but will be
waiting.
We'll see. Resurrected for those that are part of this man-child,
right.
which we'll see are the wise virgins.
Exactly.
So we continue to verse 6.
Amen.
It says, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming.
Yes.
Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.
Right.
But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy oil yourselves.
Right.
So we see that in order to be found to be these wise virgins, we need this proper portion of this oil.
Right.
And this oil costs a price. We see that those that were foolish didn't have any, so they had to go to those that sold it so they could purchase some. And we see that this oil is the Spirit.
Right.
The Spirit of Christ within us. Our
yes.
portion of the Spirit.
Yes.
We can be saved, but we may not be filled with the Spirit in and out of our being and our lives.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about when we talk about a Christian maturing in their faith.
Right.
Becoming this first fruit is really growing and allowing the Lord to take away our old man, yes, renew ourselves in right. him.
Amen.
And you can think of it as he gains a more and more portion of our hearts. Right. That's the more and more we're being filled with his spirit.
Amen.
So we can have this proper portion to be Amen. Found faithful.
Amen.
And there's a sacrifice or a price to be paid for this oil, as seen in Matthew 10, 38-39. It says, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me.
Right.
He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it."
Amen.
So we see it is really this matter of losing our own self-life and allowing the Lord to work in us. And this is the price that we have to pay right now to get this oil. Because as we see, there's not a second chance. In verse 10 in Matthew 25, it continues. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready within, who were ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'"
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Be so unfortunate to be in that place.
Yeah.
This judgment seat. And Christ say, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you."
Right.
So we see that now was the opportunity to gain the oil.
Yeah.
Once our time is done in this present age, there's not another opportunity to gain it before Christ comes back.
Right.
As we mentioned, would occur right before the sixth seal.
Yeah.
So this is also confirmed in Matthew 6:22-23. Maybe we can read this together. Sorry, that's the wrong verse. It's 7:22-23. My bad. So Matthew 7,
yeah.
22-23.
Mm-hmm.
Many will say to me
in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."
So we say that we could be doing works that we think the Lord is calling us to. But it's not about what we think the Lord is calling us to do. What is the Lord calling us to do?
Yes.
And there's this warning, because in this judgment, we may not make it if we think of we're doing the right things under our own eyes.
Right.
It's really the Lord that has to transform our hearts
yeah.
and work
yeah.
within us.
Yeah.
So let's look at this path of how we can become the faithful servants.
Amen.
Turn to Matthew 24. And at verse 45, it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant
right.
whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season?
Amen.
Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing.
Amen.
Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods."
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So we see that this food, as we've been fellowshipping over, is the word of God.
Right.
It says in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds the mouth of God."
Amen.
The word of God is our food. And it's those faithful servants that give them food in due season to the other servants. And it says, "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." When Christ comes back, the faithful servants will be the ones that are continuing to give this food in due season.
Amen.
And this is also confirmed in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5-6. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
So we see that we are all called to be these ministers.
Amen.
And it's not ministers of this letter, but it's of the Spirit, of this oil that we have, and to continue to share our portion with others so that they may gain this oil and also be found to be faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
And we also, going back to Matthew chapter 24, there is a result for the servant that is not found to be faithful.
Amen.
Matthew 24, verse 48, it continues. But if that servant, or if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming,
oh, Lord,
and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour that he is not aware of,
Amen,
and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites.
Yes.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, Lord, you see that the evil servant is harboring in his heart that his master is delaying his coming. Today, we know that Christ will come back. We've seen it. It's very near on the timeline. But we could still in our hearts think, oh, Christ isn't back today. I don't think he's coming back tomorrow, so I'm just going to do my own thing. When the peace treaty is signed, I got 3.5 years. That's when I'm really going to get on it. But we see that it's the matter of the heart. The
yeah.
Lord has not, this evil servant hasn't given this area of his heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a consequence to that. There's this judgment here.
Right.
He will be judged here and found to be disqualified.
Thing.
And it says his master will cut him in two
right.
and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There
Lord.
Shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a pleasant experience.
No, exactly.
We see that there are two paths during this 1,000 years.
Yes.
One is this millennial kingdom.
Right.
As in verse 47, it said, for the faith, the wise servant,
yes.
I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. We get
right.
to rule and reign with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
But if we are like the evil servant, Lord, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth
yes.
in this region.
That's right.
And that's for quite a long time.
Yeah.
What, 1,000 years?
So may the Lord really gain ground in us.
Amen.
And we really need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
Right.
And it's really a matter of our hearts.
Yeah.
We see. Amen.
Amen.
And then we also see in the parable of the talents, it's in Matthew 25, starting with verse 14, we see a similar judgment between the servants. It starts with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey.
Amen.
Here it's good to see that we each have a different gift according to our own ability.
Yeah.
It's not that we all have to do some laundry list of things or overcome certain things to become a faithful servant to the Lord.
Right.
But it's to be faithful with the portion that is given to us, that is entrusted to us.
Yes.
As it says, to one he gave 5, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability.
Right.
This is also confirmed in Romans 12:6. It says, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In Ephesians 4, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Amen.
So it's not trying to get more from him in terms of these gifts or what he entrusts to us, but it's really being faithful for what he has entrusted with us.
Yes.
And then it says in verse 16 of Matthew 25, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents.
Amen.
And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more.
Yes.
But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Mm. Oh Lord. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the other five talents, saying to the Lord, you've delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.
Amen.
His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You were faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things.
Amen.
Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And he also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you have delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things.
Amen.
Enter into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So we see that it doesn't matter if the servant had 5 or 2 talents, they were faithful with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reward they received, it says, I will make you ruler over many things.
Amen.
Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Yeah.
We see that when we're fellowshipping about the millennial kingdom, it's when the saints will rule and reign with Christ.
Right.
So we see that our time now is for this preparation.
Yes.
That if Christ can gain more ground in us, we be found faithful with these few things, we'll be prepared for him to make us rule over many things with him during the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. And then we get to the servant who had 1 talent. In verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Oh, Lord. We see that this servant also, it was harboring in his heart something against his master. He didn't fully submit to his master to take care of what the master entrusted him with, like the other servants. While his master was away, he just hid the talent like it didn't exist. Like it wasn't responsible for it. And then when his master returned, he's like, oh, here, this is yours. And didn't take responsibility to perform what the master desired.
Right.
Oh, Lord. And we'll see, there's going to be a judgment for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26 continues. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers,
mm-hmm.
and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest.
Right.
Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness.
Yes.
There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
We see that there's a similar punishment for this servant that was not found faithful. It tells us that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as well as this will be in the outer darkness.
Mm.
This outer darkness doesn't sound very pretty, because we know in John, 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Right.
And we know that every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. So this place in the outer darkness will be away from God.
Yes.
This full separation from the Lord. And if we know that every good thing is from the Lord, there can't be anything good in this area.
Mm.
So it's really sobering to see that there's a reward and also consequences for what we do in this time.
Amen.
And it's really how we receive the Lord and continue with Him.
Yes.
Do we give Him our full heart, or do we harbor something inside and say, no, I'm going to try to do things in my own way? Oh, Lord, to gain more ground in us, Lord.
Amen.
We want to be found as those servants that are faithful, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we want to be found to be those virgins that are wise, Lord.
Amen.
We pray that You would just fill us with Your portion of this oil, Lord.
Amen.
Fill us with Your Spirit each day, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray that each day we put off the old man, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We put on Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So good for Jake to share regarding the matter of that there is a judgment for the Christians. I think this is something that we don't realize because through thousands of years of tradition, we just assume that when you die, you go to heaven. And I think in this, or you die, you go to hell. And it's at your death that there's the judgment. But I think it is very clear, especially as we saw in the scripture, that judgment does not happen when you pass away. Judgment happens when Christ comes again, when He descends into the air. And I appreciate what he brought out is this is separate from our eternal salvation. And this is one thing we have to be very clear about. It was shared earlier during the conference that our initial salvation is a gift from God. It's a free gift. So salvation, if you go back, we see this in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, it's very clear. Verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this is a gift from God. The question with the gift is, are you willing to receive it? Right? If you have not yet received this gift from God, the question is, God is giving you a gift, but the question is, will you take it? If you're not willing to take it, God's not going to force His gift upon you. Right? If Vincent wants to give his mom a gift to fly to Germany for the spring conference, and if his mom says, "No, no, no. I don't want this gift. I really don't want this gift." She's wise. She says yes. Because it's no strings attached, right? And this is important to realize. And if we receive this gift, and this is why we share the gospel to many people who have not yet received, you receive it. And if once you receive it, then this gift is eternal life. And you will never lose this gift. And it's confirmed in the Word. John says, "No one shall snatch you out of the Father's hand." And if we are born of God, you can never be unborn of God. Right? So this is our baseline. This is where we all start. But as Jake went on to point out to all these verses, there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. And he mentioned that there is a reward and punishment. And this is actually quite separate. There are a couple of verses that speak about the reward. If we all turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. What does it say here? Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. We should read this together. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Did you get that? Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. So there is the concept of reward for the children of God. You know, this reward that Jake was speaking about, this is not for the unbelievers. The unbelievers did not receive the free gift of God. They are not born of God, so they are not entitled to God's inheritance. But God's inheritance comes to us with a condition. And that's why it says a reward. A reward means that you have to work for it. Some of you are going to school, and in a couple more weeks, you're about to graduate. And what is your reward when you graduate?
A piece of paper.
And the piece of paper will say, we certify that Sophia has completed her education in her degree at UCI. Right? So, that was that a free gift to Sophia?
No.
And if so, Sophia did nothing in school, would she get that gift? No. It's a reward. This is a reward. And this is what we need to be clear upon. Because this is where, through tradition, for the last 2,000 years of tradition in Christianity, this has been lost. And we need to see this in a clear way. Our initial salvation is a free gift from God. You can never lose that once you receive that gift. But the reward means that there's a possibility we will lose it. And this is very important. That's why also in 2 John, verse 8, it also says the same thing. 2 John, verse 8, it says, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we work for that we may receive a full reward. This is what it means. We might lose it. There's a possibility. When Lisa, you entered into UCI, if you didn't work hard, you go on academic probation. And if you go on academic probation, there's a possibility that you will lose the reward. But praise the Lord, you didn't have that problem. You're a hard worker, and you will graduate with honor. So this is good. And if we have that attitude with our school, then why wouldn't we have this attitude to gain the reward here from the millennial kingdom and the wedding feast? And this needs to be clear in all of our concepts. Ask the Lord, Lord, renew my mind. I need to see this. I want to realize this. And so it's good that he brought up these examples of the wise virgin and the foolish virgins. I appreciate Jake bringing this out because unbelievers are not looking for the bridegroom. So this is why it's impossible that these virgins, the foolish ones, are the unbelievers. Because they're going to be saying, why would I want to marry Christ as my bridegroom? It doesn't make sense. But these virgins, all the virgins, no doubt they all love the Lord. I don't think any of those foolish virgins did not love the Lord, right? Because they wanted to go to the wedding feast. That means they love the Lord too. I think all the virgins, that's why it says virgins, they love the Lord only. But yet, some paid the price to gain that extra reserve supply of the oil. And this is the Spirit. And this is extremely practical today in our daily life. How many times do the Lord give us opportunity to pay the price to gain the oil, to gain the Spirit? It could be something as simple as waking up, spending time with the Lord. Or it could be something as simple as how we speak to one another. Something happens, and your flesh rises up, and you're about to blow your stack, like I do all the time, right? Oh, Lord. So many opportunities to gain the oil, and I'm exposed by the Lord. I missed that opportunity to gain the oil. But I will say, and I will testify, the few times that I deny the soul life and I said, okay, Lord, I want to gain the oil, my daughters can testify, those are pleasant times. In the middle of that difficult situation, not only did I gain the oil, but they gained the oil also. This is the oil that we need to gain today. You will not have that opportunity once you are in the Great Tribulation. There is no more opportunity because the age to gain the oil is in the age of grace.
Once you come out here, as Jake pointed out, the foolish virgins, when they were here, left behind in the wilderness, there is no more opportunity to gain the oil. The oil will be very expensive, but it will not be enough to allow us to enter into the wedding feast of the Lord. And this is important. Right? And the oil is a daily life matter. It's a matter of life. It's not only the meetings. It's good that we can come to the meetings, but there are so many hours outside of the meeting. The meeting is only maybe 10% of a whole week. Actually, that's being very generous. 10% of our waking hours, maybe. That's still very generous. But there are so many other hours and minutes of the day during the week that we can gain the oil. Are we gaining the oil as we work, or as we study, as we raise our family, as we do so many things? Are we gaining the oil? This is what needs to happen. And then with the matter of the servants, you know, what really touched me is this matter of the attitude of the evil servant. He says, "My master is delaying his coming." Now, I don't believe any of us here would outwardly say, "Yes, I want the Lord to come back later." I don't think any of us will say that. But how many of us have, you know, the Lord is telling us, you know, take care of this matter. And you say, not right now. Just not right now. I'm a little bit busy right now. I don't want to deal with it.
When I graduate.
Okay, when I graduate, then I'll have more time. Well, I mean, just even having that heart, right? Or when I get done with work. This has been a long work day. When I get done at work, then I'll turn to the Lord. That already is the master is delaying his coming because we have put the master off. It might be another, you know, it might be 4 hours that we put him off. It might be a couple of years we put him off in school. It might be a couple more years we put him off during our honeymoon and our early marriage. Or I don't know. It could be whatever. It could be, oh, give me 5 years to start my business. Then I'll seek the Lord. That is the same as in our hearts, like this evil master. And this is not what the Lord is looking for. He wants us to be ready as a faithful servant to give food in due season. And to give food in due season. How many of us have ever been in this situation? You are, I don't know, in my case, I happened to be here at the hall twice. And I had to let the fire extinguisher person to check our fire extinguisher come in to inspect it because it needs to be serviced every year. He came in and he serviced it, and the Lord was already telling me, talk to him about the conference. And I go, yeah, but he might be busy. So he comes in, but he sees these charts, and he's looking at them. Now, I have a choice. Do I give food in due season now, or do I, well, it's a little bit inconvenient for me, I got a busy schedule, and so what do? But praise the Lord. I said, hey, these two charts, we're going to have a weekend conference concerning the second coming of Christ. And all of a sudden, he said, really? And then he starts looking at the chart, and I start sharing with him a little bit about what was going to be shared on that chart and on this chart. And after a few minutes of sharing with him, he goes, may I take a picture of these charts? And right away he took pictures of the charts. And then off he went, and he said, well, I don't know if I'll be able to come, but I'm going to get into the verses that are on the charts. So just very quick. And then 2 days later, now the fire marshals of the city of Fountain Valley came, and they wanted to make sure the fire extinguisher was inspected. They had to inspect everything else. And again, these are two inspectors. I'm sure they're busy, and I know I was busy. And they're looking around. They're going, what are these charts? And again, the same thing. But I took the time to share with them. In fact, one of them goes to this other place down on Bouchard. She said, I've never seen this before. This is all new to me. And so it was another opportunity to give food in due season.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. How many times do we have that opportunity to get food in due season? We go on a plane. On the plane, right, everyone knows when I get on a plane, I love to sleep, right?
Yep.
I can just sit down, close my eyes, and that's the time I can actually sleep. But I sit down next to a person, and he decides to go, "Hi, my name is Norris." "Hi, I'm John." "Where are you going?" "I'm going to Germany." "Oh, what are you doing in Germany?" "Oh, well." Right? Then what? So it opens up an opportunity. There's so many opportunities you all have to give food in due season. Right? This is the wise and faithful servants. Right? So many people need food. And then, of course, it really ties into the talents. The Lord has really given us the riches of Christ.
Amen.
And we saw earlier this in the conference, who did the Lord make known the riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ? Who is he making it known by? Actually, it's not known to, but it's known by. It is by the church we make known the riches of Christ. Meaning Christ is not going to only show the riches to his church, but he wants the church to show the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we have the talent within us. At least each one of us has one talent. And the question is, are we going to invest? Now, you know, when you invest money, that means you have to take a risk. There's a possibility that what you invest, you might not get anything back. In fact, you might lose a lot. And so now the Lord has given you something to invest. And what are you going to do with that? Now, if you're a very ultra-conservative investor, you're not going to put it in your mattress under the bed, will you? Even as a conservative, ultra-conservative investor, you will never stick it in the mattress of your bed. No. As an ultra-conservative, you will at least put it into the bank. And today the bank earns what? 0.01% interest. So, okay. But at least you're getting 0.1 interest. So, what is the bank that is speaking about here in chapter 25? This is the church. If we only have one talent, we feel like we can't do anything, then at least invest your one talent in the church. Is it so hard to invite somebody to come to the meeting? You know, I remember this one sister back a few years ago. She came. She didn't know English very well. She had to go to English with a second language. And all she could say is, "Come, come, you need to come. Come to the church, come to the church." Every week she was inviting. I think at the end of the 10 weeks, 15 of her classmates came, and they all received the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's through that consistent inviting that one brother even came into the church and is still with us today.
Yeah.
That's the investment of one talent.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
Are we at least able to do that?
Yes.
We can certainly do something that simple, right? This is what the Lord is looking for us to do today. And this all ties back to the kingdom of God. Right? The Lord wants to end this age. He wants to bring his kingdom age in quickly. But what does he need? What is he waiting for? We talked about the timeline. The whole world situation is ripened. Right? Just today we were talking about the news of all the terrible things that happened just in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And everyone says, the world is really needing the Lord. Mm-hmm. So yes, the world is ripened. So what is he waiting for? What is he waiting for?
His kingdom.
He's waiting for his kingdom. And who is his kingdom? Who are his kingdom?
The church.
Yes. And who is the church?
We are.
Right, he's waiting for us to mature. And the way we mature is we need to gain that extra reserve supply of the life, of the Spirit. We all should be filled with the Spirit. And if we are filled with the Spirit, we will always be ready to give food in due season. And if we are filled with the Spirit, ready to give food in due season, this is already investing the talents that we have, that the Lord has given us. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And you know what? If we do this, then we will gain the reward.
Yeah.
And this is what the Lord wants today.
Yes.
He's incentivizing us. The reward to mature. Right? Because the problem is, as was shared yesterday, is we have the problem, it's our flesh. Our flesh is lazy. Our flesh is pushing things out, always wanting to delay things, always wanting to delay things, never wanting to gain, never wanting to pay the price. This is our flesh. So because of the flesh, God also has to show us dispensational punishment. And as 2 John verse 8 said, do not lose. We have a possibility of losing our reward. Right? And so this is a healthy word for us to realize. And this is a healthy word to wake us up, that the Lord could begin to work within us. And if we see this, this is, again, how we can become first fruits. The first fruits, as we saw, this is the goal. This is the only path that is wise to go through.
Amen.
You don't want to take it by chance, because the foolish ones got stuck. You don't want to take it by chance as the first fruits. This is what the Lord wants us to do. So, may the Lord really show us in a very clear way. We do have this choice. It is a free gift from God for our salvation, but for us to receive the reward, we have to choose it. And we have to be exercised, we have to be disciplined to gain the Spirit.
Yes.
And then to give food to one another and to all those around us, and to be willing to invest our talent.
Amen. Amen.